Namaskar, everybody. This is Dharaveda Pragyananda, and welcome to DharmaCast. Today, I'm going to start off by reading a passage from the work of Sri Sri Anandamurti, and the essay that I'm going to read is called Love, the Essential Prerequisite. As you know, curry, even if it is prepared with maximum care in all other aspects, cannot be treated as a palatable dish if there is want of salt in it. Similarly, all human endeavors to find out a link between the finite and the infinite fail if there is want of devotion in them. Take the case of karma. The aspirant is a karma yogi, but all his karmas are sure to fail if there is want of devotion. A karma is glorified only when it remains associated with devotion and love for the Supreme. Otherwise, a karma becomes mechanical, and the little bit of introversiality that one possesses in the rudimental stage disappears after a short while, and the movement becomes purely extroversive. That is, human existence itself becomes a machine. So one cannot achieve the supreme goal by dint of one's karma when the said karma is not associated with devotion or love for the Supreme. And now let us see what happens if one is engaged in tapasya. Tapasya means freely undergoing hardship in order to reach the goal within a short period. Now, what does happen if, while doing this tapasya, there is no love for the great? Such tapasya is nothing but a misuse of time. Tapasya without love is a misuse of time and will have an adverse effect on the physical body and also on the psychic body, and the result is definitely bad. What is yoga? Yogash chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga is suspension of all the psychic propensities. Now, if during the suspension, this period of suspension, there is love for God, then all the suspended propensities rest on the Supreme Entity. Suppose one is a great yogi, but there is no love for his goal. Then those suspended propensities are finally converted into crude matter. That is, the subtle human existence becomes like iron. It becomes like wood. It becomes like sand. What a deterioration. What a downfall. This particular type of yoga, where a yogi does not bear love for the Supreme Entity, is called Hatha Yoga in Sanskrit. It is dangerous for the human elevation. Hatha comes from Ha and Ta. Ha represents Surya Nadi or Ida Nadi and is the acoustic root of physical force. Ta represents Chandra Nadi or Pingala Nadi and is the acoustic root of the mind. So Hatha implies forcible control of mind by physical force. In popular parlance, whenever something happens very abruptly, all of a sudden, we use the word hatat, hatena kurute karma. Obviously, a practitioner of hatha yoga cannot attain liberation. Suppose a man has no devotion or love for the Supreme, but he is a gyani, an intellectual. Others recognize the fact that he is really a great gyani. He knows this, he knows that. But jnana without paramatma is like the skin of a banana. It is not the real banana. It is the skin of a banana. One will get no taste from it. His knowledge is not paravidya. His knowledge is aparavidya. That is, his relative knowledge pertains to the crude materialism. This type of crude material knowledge concerned with the crude materialism has done much harm to human society during the last century. It has misguided the entire human society. It has converted human beings into animals. Indeed, animals have also been exploited by the propounders of these crude philosophies. It has been said that all knowledge, para and apara, are just like a very big ocean of milk. Now, after churning the ocean of milk, what do you get? You get butter and buttermilk. After churning this type of ocean, the butter portion has been enjoyed by the devotees, and the buttermilk portion is left for the gyanis. Intellectuals fight amongst themselves regarding the ownership of that buttermilk portion. And finally, not even that buttermilk is enjoyed by them, because it goes bad before they come to a decision as to who is to enjoy it. There are many categories of bhakti, or devotion. Amongst them, the main three types are tamasi, rajasi, and sattviki bhakti. Tamasi bhakti means static devotion. It is not actually bhakti because the unit's desire is for his or her enemies to be destroyed. Since Paramapurusha is not the goal, it is sure that he or she won't get Paramapurusha. Rajasi bhakti means mutative devotion. In this form of bhakti, one wants physical property. So one may or may not, as a result of this bhakti, gain prosperity. But it is sure one won't get Paramapurusha, because Paramapurusha is not the goal. In the case of sattviki bhakti, or sentient devotion, the goal is Paramapurusha. Sadhakas should aspire for him and him alone, and this is the supreme goal of human endeavors. And this is discourse which was given in India on the 13th of September 1978 in a place called Patna, and it's published in Ananda Vachanamritam Part 2. So this little essay comes to the heart of what yoga is all about. Yoga means union. It means the union of the individual with God, or if you want to call it cosmic consciousness, supreme consciousness, or he uses the word paramatma, means the supreme soul. So that's the task of the yogi. And the yogi is anybody who is walking on the path, trying to expand consciousness and trying to merge and trying to fulfill the human life. Because yoga is the fulfillment of the human life. Because what are we doing as human beings? We're searching for something. Whether we know it or not, we don't know what we're searching for. But first of all, we want to be happy. And then somewhere along our path and during our life, we understand that the physical things of life, no matter how many we get, they never fulfill our desire for infinite happiness. And that's when the search becomes more of an introversial approach. We start to, maybe we meditate, we do some yoga postures, we change our diet, we adopt a certain style which will fulfill us, which will bring us closer to the goal. Now, when we adopt that style, surely there are so many things to do, like you learn how to meditate, or you learn how to do your postures, you learn what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, maybe you want to do fasting. There's so many things. But those things, they have their importance, but if you miss the secret ingredient, then they will not bring you to the desired goal. And so that secret ingredient is love. 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 That is it. So if you have love for that supreme being, Paramatma, supreme consciousness, then you make that your object of devotion, then certainly you will be successful. Because when we're in love, we can't stop thinking about that person. Let's say if it's a person that you're in love with, we can't stop thinking about him or her, because that's our object of love. So meditation is simply to make that Supreme One the object of our love, the object of our devotion. So this is the path of bhakti. So in yoga, there are three paths that are commonly spoken about, which is jnana, means knowledge. And there's karma, which is work. And then there is bhakti, devotion. So they have their place. The other jnana has its place, and karma has its place. But as he mentioned here, that if you're doing this work without love, then it won't come to any fruition. You can learn all the practices and you can suspend your mind. But if the mind is just suspended and doesn't have any direction, then you won't get the result. So the mind should be suspended, but on the Supreme Consciousness with the feeling of love. And then what happens is the result is called samadhi. Samadhi is when the mind, it gets merged either in the cosmic mind or in the cosmic consciousness. But it's not so easy to get that result, that samadhi. And the reason why it's not easy is because we have many objects in our mind. We like many things. So, yeah, we like God, but we also like the worldly things. And so we're thinking about those worldly things. But when the day comes when those worldly things are in the background, and we have one thing in our foreground, one thing which is close to us, there's one thing which we want very, very much. And that one thing and that desire is driven by this love. That's what love means. When we pour all of our attention, all of our thoughts, all of our hope, all of our emotion towards one goal. And when we have that kind of, it's a passion, but a passion for the Supreme. It's not a physical passion. And we have that kind of, we're passionate, we're intense, we're sincere, we're devoted, we're one-pointed. When that happens, somebody attains that union, that yoga. So yoga really depends for its fulfillment on this awakening of devotion. And devotion can be, you don't get it the first day, but it will come with your practice. If you're sincere in your practice, if you do a daily practice, then sooner or later, you're going to realize that you're not alone in this universe. There is a Supreme One inside you, outside you, guiding you, showering love on you. And when you get this realization, then you're ready to continue moving on, because you know now, yes, there is something I have to attain. And when you can get that, then it'll be easier. You'll be able to move on the path. And every day you can sit down, do some meditation, think about your most beloved one, and that Supreme Soul, that Paramatma, Supreme Consciousness, Paramapurusha, whatever name you want to give it. But you will meditate. And when your meditation becomes one-pointed, there one day you will get that merger with the Supreme. You will get that feeling of love bursting within you. So this is really all I wanted to say about this subject. And if you want to know more, you can read the original discourse. They're available from Anandamarga Publications. And I just want to close out by saying namaskar. Namaskar means I salute the divinity within you with all the divine charms of my mind and all the love and cordiality of my heart. So I hope you will listen again, and namaskar one more time.